Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. My subject is faith, hope, and praise. I hope that preacher was right about this subject anyway. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Praise God. Just right now, just lift your hands and say this: God, increase my faith. Bigger, stronger than it's ever been, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Faith is not a feeling, it's a foundation. Faith is not a flurry, it's a foundation. It's not like a snowflake. You see that snowflake coming down, and so many times before it gets to the earth, or even when it hits the earth, if it's a little warm, it will just dissolve. It will just disappear. That's not faith. It's not a flurry of emotion. You hear a great sermon, oh, I'm excited right now. Or you hear a favorite song or something good happens in your life. That's not what faith is. Faith is a foundation. The Bible said, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He assures us that by faith we can win every war, if not every battle. We will quench all the darts of the devil. Faith is like its parent. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so the word of God is the parent of faith. And so faith is like its parent. It's both a defensive and offensive weapon. The word of God is a two-edged sword. And so faith is both offensive and defensive. Faith is not a word. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without life, life is miserable. And the Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Bible said that hope deferred, not lost, just deferred, just put off, just postponed, that it will make the heart sick. And so hope lost is devastating. But hope comes from faith. When you have faith, you have great, tremendous hope. Hope is a tremendous weapon in my life. Faith fights for me. My faith fights all sorts of things. You know, one of the things that we deal with, and that's the reason why you should do your best to stay healthy, to get plenty of rest. You know, when you get tired, you overwork, you miss a lot of sleep, that gives the devil a real edge to come in your life. It's up to you to try to stay healthy. Do the very best you can to take care of your body. Get your rest. Because when you get tired, the devil will try to come in. And so you get that feeling. Feeling is one of the great enemies of faith, the way you feel about things. That's the reason why we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And so you have to counsel yourself. The Bible said David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. You have to talk to yourself all the time. The best counselor I've got is me. I talk to myself all the time. And when I sense that feeling is coming in, maybe because I'm tired or there's a series of events that didn't go my way, I begin to counsel myself. And I counsel myself with what I know in the Lord from His Word, what I know from the experiences that I've had in God. And I say, wait just a minute, feeling, you are not going to be able to take advantage of me. So my faith fights my feeling. It doesn't matter how I feel. I've heard Brother Copeland talk about that so much, how much that faith is so much important, how you feel. Do you feel like you're saved? It doesn't matter whether you feel like you're saved or not. Do you know by the word of God you're saved? Do you feel like you're forgiven? It doesn't matter whether you feel like you're forgiven. I remember preaching in Peoria, Illinois many, many years ago. And I had to go do a radio broadcast between a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night service. But before I left to do that radio broadcast, there was a brand new couple that had never been in a full gospel church in their life. And they came down to the altar, and they were just pouring their heart out to the Lord. They were confessing their sins, and they were praying. And that's where I left them. And there were several people there in the church, and they were old-time Pentecostals. And old-time Pentecostals have a lot of wonderful things, but they're like every other denomination. They have some hang-ups. And so I had to go do this radio broadcast. And before I went to my room, after I got through the radio broadcast, I came back, And these people were there, and they were exactly in the same condition that I'd left them probably an hour and a half before. And those people that were there, and they were just miserable. They were just crying and begging God to save them. And I stepped back and watched that, and then I heard this woman say, and she was a dear woman, but it was dogma that she'd been taught. I remember she said to them, she said, "Do you feel like the Lord has forgiven you?" And the people didn't know anything about the Bible. They said, "No, our sins are too great." She said, "Well, then you need to beg God some more." I stopped that little parade right there, and I said, wait, just a minute. It doesn't matter how you feel. The Bible said that if you confess your sins, God is just to forgive you. And I gave them a little five-minute Bible study, and just like that, their countenance changed, and they had been so depressed, and the devil was having a heyday condemning them. And I explained to them through the Word of God that their sins were gone as far from them as the east is from the west, not because of them, but because of the goodness of God. And then I instructed them, lift your hands and begin to praise God. Now, these were people that had never been in a full gospel church, and they had just given their heart to the Lord. They had repented. And when I told them to lift their hands and begin to praise God, all of a sudden the power of the Lord came on them. And they were both, man and wife, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to rejoice in the Lord. But that would have not have happened if they had continued to think, it matters how I feel. It's not how you feel. The feeling will follow your faith, but feeling will never produce faith. And so when the devil comes in and tries to make you feel condemned or negative or discouraged or disillusioned, you've got to rebuke that and say, my faith fights feeling. I don't care how I'm feeling. The Word of God says that I'm in the Father's hand and no man can pluck me out. The Word of God said He has forgiven me. The Word of God said He loves me. The Word of God said He plunges me in the fountain in the house of David. So you've got to be able to stand on the Word of God. That's the reason why you must know the Word of God, because faith cometh by the Word. But if you don't know the Word of God, you don't have a good comment for the feelings that come into your mind. You've got to be able to say, I don't care what I'm feeling. I don't care what some spirit is saying. I don't care what some notion is. The Word of God declares this. And so by faith, I know I'm saved. I know I'm healed. I know I'm filled. I know I'm delivered. I know I prosper. I know I'm that. You've got to know the Word of God so that your faith can soar. But you know, there's something else that my faith fights. And this is something that people have a real problem with. When you look at your checkbook and it's in the red, it's just in the red. So, well, that's a fact. I just, you know, it doesn't matter how much faith you got, you're broke. So many facts. Or if you get a doctor's report and he writes it out and says you've got this disease or you've got this ailment, that's a fact. But did you know that if you study the Word of God, what you see in the Bible is that the greatest stories in the Bible are literally the facts were there, and God turned those facts around every time. The fact was, every time Abraham looked in the mirror, he was 95, 98, 100 years of age. Same thing with Sarah. And the Bible said she considered not the deadness of her womb a fact. There might be facts stacked against you, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, your faith can fight the facts. And the facts might be in black and white, but when you turn it into faith, they're not in black and white anymore. They're in red. They're in the blood red Jesus blood, praise God, and God can turn around. So I have to get up every morning and take the shield of faith and say, I don't care how I feel, and I don't care what the facts are, praise God. My faith is in the Word of God, and God is my provider. God is my way maker. God is going to bring the battlements and the barriers down. God's going to call the walls to fall. God's going to cause the enemy to flee seven ways, because my faith is in God's ability. And so the text said faith is the foundation of faith. No faith, no hope. So hope comes from faith. And so where does faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, uses the phrase twice, feigned faith. Feigned faith means pretend faith, sham faith, counterfeit faith. True faith comes from one source. All other sources will bring you fake faith, feigned faith. But real faith comes from the Word of God. Did you know that the Word of God is autobiographical? It's God writing about Himself. what God says about himself. True faith is believing the scripture about what the Bible says about God. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. You've got to have faith to please God. For this is what God says about him. He said, he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In that one verse, there are two principles in which you have to establish your faith. Number one, God exists. And number two, God rewards the faithful. These two principles of faith assure us not only that God is, but that he is an unquestionably good and benevolent God that we can wholly and fully trust. There are five great statements of faith in the Bible. More than that, but five outstanding things that happen in the Bible that we ought to look at. And when I look at them, I find great faith surging in me. Number one, all of those years, Abraham and Sarah believed God for a miracle that they were going to have a child and he was going to be the birth of a new nation that God had promised them because of their faith. And God had declared them righteous, and God had declared their seed was going to be like the stars of the heaven and like the sands of the earth. And so they believed that, and finally that son was born, and they were just overjoyed by that miracle. But not too many years after that child was born, God spoke to Abraham and said, take that son Isaac and go up Mount Moriah and sacrifice that son that I have miraculously given you to me. And Abraham had such faith that he did exactly what God told him to do. He got up on that mountainside and he had the wood and he had everything except he didn't have the sacrifice. And Isaac looked at him and said, where is the sacrifice? He said, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. You see, this simple act that he was doing, if it was completed, would undo everything God had done in his life. Faith is ultimately just trusting the Lord, just knowing that the Lord will do what he said he would, and God's way is always for your benefit and for your blessing. I know that Abraham was wrestling with his flesh when he laid Isaac down upon that wood and getting ready for that sacrifice and drew back that knife, but he was willing to be totally obedient to the Lord. The reason why people are disobedient is a lack of faith. If you have faith, you will obey God. It will not always make sense to you. It will not always be pleasing to your flesh. But you'll say, I know if I obey the Lord, it will turn around and it will be for my good. God's got my best interest at his heart. And so Abraham got ready to do that. And when we see this scene unfolding, we say, why is this? It was just Abraham trusting in God, and God said, I was just testing you to make sure you had the faith that you're going to need to literally establish an entire nation on this earth. Faith is trusting God with our greatest possession. Let me say that again. Faith is trusting God with our greatest possession. That's the reason why you can tell so many people don't really have faith. They're afraid to even give God 10% of their increase, even to tithe. It's not that they're ugly people, it's that they're faithless people. They're just fearful. If I give this 10%, I'm going to need it down the road somewhere. And so this was proof that Abraham had total trust in God. So number one, faith is trusting God with our greatest possession. And you know what that usually involves? It usually involves our family. Abraham was trusting his family to God. Above all, we ought to trust our families to God. I know so many people allow themselves to be drawn away from the Lord by their families, but you ought to put your family on God's altar and say, I'm going to live in such a way that I will be the strength that they need. I will be the thing that they can tie to. I will be the anchor, and God will save your family. Many people are not saved, and the families are not saved because of the weakness of the one person that is saved. They make compromises. This was an amazing place for Abraham to make a compromise, but he didn't do it. He said, I'm going to trust God. And you know the story that God provided the ram in the thicket. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that your faith says you must trust God. God will make a way where there is no way. God will do that which is phenomenal when it seems impossible. God is on your side. Number two, a great act of faith. the three Hebrew children. So many people say, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to do this if God does that. Listen to what this verse said. They answered and said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. That's where every Christian is. We're saying, we know that God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But there is the part where faith steps in. It says, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. We're still on board. All Christians believe that. But now here's the kicker. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thee, thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Faith does not say, I'll trust you if things turn out a certain way. Faith simply says, I will trust you, God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, and I'm in for the long haul. I'm in for the end. I'm not going to take what I've got and check out. That's exactly what they were. Faith is trusting God regardless of consequence. Say, God, I'm just going to trust you. Well, Lord, I told you if you'd give me that new job, I'd go to church. Lord, I told you, God, if you would cause my children to get saved, I'd continue to serve you. You cannot make those kind of compromises. You just say, God, I know that you're able to deliver me out of this fiery furnace, but if you don't, there's some things you need to do inside the fiery furnace. Number one, just rejoice you're still alive. Can you imagine being in that fiery furnace? Well, it was the time to praise God. Well, we're still alive. It's 500 degrees in here, but we're still alive. Not only that, when they went in, they were bound with ropes, and those ropes had burned off. Now they're free, praise God. There's things to do even when you're in the fire because you're saying, God, no matter what happens, I'm trusting you. It's one of the great acts of faith. The third great act of faith was simply by Job. Now, Job went through a lot, and none of it was his fault. And you know what's bad is when you're going through something, and you know it's not your fault, but you've got some pious Christian friends that are saying, well, you're doing something wrong. You know, you're getting what you deserve. Somewhere you failed. Somewhere you missed God. Even preachers do that. They say, well, brother, this is the reason why you're going through that. It could be that it's not anything you've done. It could be that the devil hates you. That could be the reason why. And so Job recognized that he was going to trust God no matter what. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Faith is trusting God to death. Trusting God to death, saying, I don't care what happens. My faith will not waver. I'm going to trust God. God is my Savior. God is my healer. God is my deliverer. God is the one that makes the way, but it doesn't matter what happens. I have put my trust in the Lord, and that is not going to waver. We've got to have unwavering faith in the Lord. And when we do, we always have faith. Always have faith. Number four, the centurion. This is one of the great, there are five greatest acts of faith in the Bible. This is number four. The centurion sent the word to Jesus that his servant was sick. And they said, well, he came and said, my servant is sick. And this centurion, when you read about him, was a very devout man. He'd built a temple for God. He'd done all kinds of things in his life. And Jesus said, while I come, he said, well, I'll tell you what, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house, for I am not worthy. Friend, at some point in your life, if you're going to get miracles, I had a hard time learning this from the background I came, but I have had so many miracles in my life. But where miracles really became very prolific to me was when I began to realize that the miracles were not contingent upon me, nor were they based on my deservedness or my worthiness, that, praise God, the reason why this miracle, this turnaround was going to happen, not because I was good, but because God was good. Not because I was able, but because my God is able. I never asked for a miracle in the name of Steve. I never asked for the miracle in the name of Living Way. I never asked for a miracle in the name of religion. I asked for miracles in the name of Jesus. And this centurion, Jesus said, I've not seen so great a faith in Israel. Why was that? Because of two things. Number one, he realized that God's productivity was not based on his worthiness. And number two, this is very important. He said, you don't need to come to my house. Just send your word. This is very important. Get this if you would. He said, even when I can't feel your presence, I know that your word will prevail. So many times, ladies and gentlemen, we feel like we got to feel the presence of God. Oh, I felt the Lord. Well, whether you felt Him or not, He was there. He's an omnipresent God. And so that's the lesson learned here with the centurion, that Jesus does not have to be in your house physically. He just has to send His word. And when His word is sent, praise God, miracles are going to happen. And ladies and gentlemen, everybody in this building nearly today knows enough of the word of God to grasp the particular miracle you need in your life. And you say, well, if I can get goosebumps, or if they can sing my song, or they can preach my sermon, or somehow things come together and I feel like it, and I can feel, no, just say, I'm standing on the Word of God, and the Word of God said, I am blessed coming in and going out, that the Lord has put His hand on me, praise God. He'll bless me in the store. He'll bless me in the field. The Lord will not withhold any good thing from me. The Lord has already fought every battle, destroyed every enemy, and I know the Lord is going to perform a miracle in my life. Number five, the five greatest acts of faith in the Bible, the Syrophoenician woman. The Bible then says, then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take thy children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Faith is trusting God in the face of offense. The Bible says about Christ, He is the rock of offense. I'm going to tell you something, that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God can be very offensive to this flesh. But real faith refuses to be offended. I just refuse to take offense. And the reason you can do that is because you know the nature of God. This woman was not offended by what could have been taken as a racial slight. She knew the nature of Jesus Christ, and so no matter what her ears were hearing, her faith was saying, He loves me, and He's going to deliver my demon-possessed daughter. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I am convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is on my side. I refuse to be offended by what happens. I refuse to be offended by what I read. I refuse to be offended by what I perceive as an injustice and say the Lord's ways are above my ways. I don't understand this, but I do know this, that God is good all the time, that God is on my side, that God loves me so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Friend, after a while, you ought to be able to look at what somebody does and judge how much they love you. If somebody is with you for years and they never abandon you, and somebody shares their wealth with you and shares their home with you and shares everything, after a while, you've got to realize this is true love. It might not be what you see on TV in a love story, but this is true love. Well, friend, when you realize what Jesus Christ has done for you, you ought to have unshakable confidence that the Lord loves me, and no matter what anybody tells you, I'm not going to be offended by the Lord or His word or His church or His people. I'm going to stand flat-footed and say, I am persuaded that the Lord loves me. It is literally unfathomable, indescribable, the love has for me. And so I'm going to stand right here until the Lord grants my request, until the Lord heals my daughter, until the Lord performs the miracle, because my faith is in God, and God has distributed and displayed His love to me, and I know who God is, and I know what God does, and I know what God wants for me. Do you know how difficult it was for God to save you? God had to overcome your family, your friends, your input, secular information, what you got at college, what you get at work, what your feelings are, what your thought, but God wouldn't give up. God just kept hammering away. I'm going to save you. That's the love that would not go away. It tracked you down. Regardless of what you said, God was still there. Regardless of how you rejected, God was still there. And so you ought to be convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt now. God loves me and He's going to take care of me. So I'm not going to be offended. I've got tremendous faith that my God is a good God and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And praise God, God's going to heal me when the doctors can't heal me. Money's going to come in when I can't even get a job. The Lord's going to feed me. The Lord's going to take care of me. The Lord is going to defend me. The Lord is going to cause my enemies to flee from me. The Lord is my warrior. The Lord is my Savior, and I've got faith in Him. Do you have that kind of faith in God today? I know that my God is able. Faith understands that the Word of God is creative. It literally brings into existence things from nothing. The two key words in the book of Genesis when creation was happening was God said. God said. And when God spoke out of nothing, something would happen. God does not have to assemble things. God's able to create something out of nothing in your life. And what God is waiting for you to do right now is say, wait a minute. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how offensive it seems to be. I'm going to trust God, and God is going to make a way where there is no way. Faith makes impossible scriptures believable. Did you ever just read a scripture and say, wow, that's impossible. That's impossible. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It takes verses that are seemingly impossible and it takes them to heart and says, now God is going to do this even though it seems to be impossible. When it says we know all things work together, that's been a difficult verse for me, because when something negative happens, you say, now why did that happen? You get your car repossessed. You lose your job. Somebody gets sick. Now, why did that happen? That's not good. But the scripture said, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So what faith does, it takes difficult scriptures, difficult circumstance, and it's impossible to believe them with your mind. But in faith, you begin to believe them and say, I do not understand how, but I know that all things are going to work together, and out of this mess is going to come a miracle. Out of this misery is going to come a miracle. Praise God. And God is more than able to shuffle this and do what He needs to do. And I'm closing with this. Psalm 71:14. I will hope continually. Friend, nothing can steal my hope, because my hope is based in faith in God. And I know that God is, and I know that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I love this verse. I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. Friend, I don't care what's happening in your life. Let your faith go wild. Let your hope soar. And it will cause you to do what? Praise God more and more and more and more. The most difficult thing in life to do is when you get a bad phone call. I had one of the major business deals going, and it just collapsed about 7 days ago. And instead of just, you know, I shared it with Becky, and I said, well, this is what the lawyer said. And that's all I said. I didn't give a commentary on it. I just told her what the lawyer said. I went back to my office and began to praise God. And within a couple of hours, He sent me a text and said, the thing is reversed. It's back on. Friend, why? Because in that short span of time, I wouldn't let my hope die. And I caused myself to praise the Lord more and more. More and more. Are you praising God more and more? Ladies and gentlemen, that's your assignment during the pandemic, is to praise God more and more. I don't care what's going on in your life. Praise God more and more. You say, I lost my job. Praise God more and more. You say, I've got a temperature. Praise God more and more. Said, I got a bad report from one of my family members. Praise God more and more. Living Way Church, that is our assignment. It's an easy assignment to say, but it's a little hard to do when things look bleak and black and dark, and you say, I just don't know. Oh, just begin to praise God. I know who the Lord is, and He has proven His love for me. If He sent His only begotten Son to die, I know He's going to fight my battles for me. And so I'm going to praise the Lord more and more. I want to praise the Lord more and more. What does that mean? That means more words. That means more phrases. That means more ideas. That means more thoughts. That means more meditation. That means more velocity. That means more quantity. That means more quality. I'm just going to praise God. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a saving God. He's a healing God. He's a protecting God. He's a providing God. And He's in this house right now. And I want to ask every one of you in this building to get on your feet. Lift your hands as high as you can and begin to praise God more and more. Begin to praise God more and more. We've never lived like a time like we're living in the summer of 2020. Never seen anything like it. Not one person in this building has ever lived in a time like this. But friend, I want to tell you that God's not dead, that God's not out of business, that God's not quitting, that God has not changed sides. He's still on your side. His Son still died for you and rose again. And Jesus is still your Lord. And your situation is you just praise God. Say, Lord, my faith is strong. My hope is strong. Lord, I know something good is happening. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Is there anybody in this building right now that you're not saved, that you'd like to come and give your life to Christ?